This is the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast. My name is Martin Cox and I'm the Head of Engagement and Communications within the UK FIU. Today we are discussing the risks of money laundering associated with the Money Service Bureau, or MSBs, in the UK and the Exchange House sector in the UAE. We are joined today by Dr. Reem Alshamsi, who is the Director of Research and Strategic Analysis at the United Arab Emirates Financial Intelligence Unit, and Philip Deeks, who is a Senior Intelligence Analyst and Money Laundering SME at the National Crime Agency. Welcome to you both. My first question is to you, Phil. What functions does an MSB actually fulfil within the UK?
Thank you, Martin. In the UK, a Money Service Bureau is what is termed as a non-bank financial services provider. The activities of a Money Service Bureau, or to put it in its legal term, a money service business, as is described under the prevailing money laundering regulations and the payment services regulations, is a term to a natural or a legal person who, by way of business, operates a currency exchange office, cashes checks that are made payable to customers, and importantly for our conversation today, transmits money, or importantly, or any representation of monetary value by any means. And to try and understand to put it into a bit of a context as the history of Money Service Bureau, especially money service businesses, and to understand that last part, which is the remittance market, it's worth pausing to identify its ancient historical context. Before the advent of negotiable instruments such as paper money, traders historically would use gold and other precious metals to settle payments. And of course, insecurity amongst trade routes and the original Silk Road led to the development of alternatives to eliminate the movement of physical payment methods. These processes occurred at different times globally, giving rise to region-specific terminology such as hawala. And the term hawala derives from its Arabic root, which signifies change or transformation. This permeated into both Hindi and Urdu, where it acquired the additional connotations of trust and reference, and is synonymous as a bill of exchange or a promissory note. In commercial terms, it is the practice of transferring the value of money from one place to another, which is caught under the transmission of money or any representation of monetary value by means. Therefore, in modern lexicon, hawala is an informal banking system that facilitates domestic and international money transfers. A hawaladar is a money service provider who conducts hawala. And importantly, hawala is recognized domestically and internationally as the most common term relating to alternative money or value transfer. And in fact, in the UK, an early version of the money laundering regulations, as I've already mentioned, the 2007 version of the money laundering regulations, referred to money service business activity as money or value transmitters, including hawala and any other alternative remittance providers. Therefore, in the UK, hawala is a form of non-bank financial services. It's lawful to act as hawaladar, as an MSB in the UK, if the business is appropriately registered and complies with the money laundering regulations and the payment service regulations.
Dr. Reem, can you tell me how this differs to an exchange house within the UAE?
Exchange business in the UAE includes dealing in sale and purchase of foreign currencies, as well as executing remittance operations in local and foreign currencies. The sector also includes payment of wages through establishing a link to the operating system of wages protections and offers bill payment for many UAE service providers like telecoms, electricity and water bills, also credit card payments.
Okay, thank you. So MSBs, or exchange houses, are often considered to be used extensively to support financial crime. So what steps have been taken to identify this through SARS reporting, Phil?
Well, a common benefit of using an MSB is that individuals or businesses will be able to use the services of the MSB without having to be a registered customer or holding an account, and that's not possible with a bank. And this is why, or one reason why, MSBs may be targeted, what we term as organised crime groups, because of this perception that it's easier to access the financial system using an MSB rather than a bank. And MSBs that we see involved in financial crime can be described in one of three ways: as being complicit, negligent, or unwitting. Complicit is where a subject is knowingly engaged in the criminal activity. Negligent is where a subject is not willfully engaged in the crime, but does not comply with the relevant processes and regulations that are needed to identify and stop it. And unwitting is where a subject is not aware that they are being used to facilitate a crime.
Thank you. Dr. Ream, can I ask you the same question, please, from a UAE perspective?
All exchange houses in the UAE are licensed by the Central Bank of the UAE, which requires strict compliance with AML and CFT rules and regulations, including conducting due diligence, taking copies of valid IDs of customers, screening clients at the time of onboarding, as well as when executing transactions, and indeed reporting suspicions to the UAE FIU. Actually, there is roughly 15% of all STRs and SARs are received by the UAE FIU from MSPs, which implies that they are well-versed in their legal requirements. The sector also undergoes periodic regulatory examinations that include AML aspects, and MSPs must report all their transactions daily to the central bank via a sector-specific platform, or what we call remittance reporting system, RRS. Their account with banks are monitored as well, and when suspicion arises, banks report STRs against them to the FIU immediately.
Yep, that's really interesting. In the from a UK perspective, our money laundering regulations, they require MSBs to have a nominated officer who receives reports of suspicious activity within their MSB and business, and then they decide when and how to report them to the UK FIU, which is under statute under the aforementioned Proceeds of Crime Act. The money laundering regulations also requires the MSBs to train its relevant employees, keep a record of that training, and that training must ensure that they are aware of the law relating to money laundering and terrorist financing, and the requirements of data protection. They must also be trained in the MSB policies, procedures, its risk assessment, to ensure that they're able to recognise, identify, and deal with transactions which may relate to money laundering or terrorist financing. And I know you mentioned customer due diligence. Under the money laundering regulations, one of the regulators is His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, and that requires they issue sector guidance, and that also includes customer due diligence, which requires a UK MSB to identify and verify the identity of its customers, keep a record of their customer due diligence measures, and when the customer is a corporate body or a company, that MSB must identify the beneficial owners of that body, and where it's a beneficial owners, a legal person or a trust or a company, a foundation, they must take reasonable measures to understand its ownership and control structures.
Thanks, Phil. So what are some of the key areas of concerns regarding this area of financial services?
We can draw this into a product issued by the Financial Action Task Force back in 2013, I think, as part of the work there. The UK had some input to it, and it's called The Role of Hawala and Other Similar Service Providers, which is a little bit of a mouthful. It's generally called HOSP, but it just describes a common characteristic of the Hawaladars or MSBs as either illegal or unlicensed stroke unregistered money transmitters. And the reason why that's put in there is that because although these forms of informal value transfer systems may be illegal in some jurisdictions, however legal in others. And in the UK, as we've already discussed, Hawala and other forms of IVTS, informal value transfer systems, are lawful as long as the business is appropriately registered and complies with the prevailing regulations. And of course, one issue that we see in the UK since around about 2013 is we've seen a global de-risking of the money service business sector. They're seen as a high-risk customer, high-risk entity, and many MSB operators, certainly in the UK, that are providing remittance and payment services, particularly high street retailers providing money remittance, lost access to UK banking services, which obviously restricted how they could carry out their payment services. And perhaps inevitably, when the formal banking sector restricted access to remittance services, the use of IVTS, Hawala, increased. Although having said that, there's no regulatory requirement for an MSB to operate a bank account.
Dr. Reem, what concerns do you have in the UAE around Hawala-type services?
In the UAE, Hawala business is regulated and their transactions are closely monitored as other money service providers by the Central Bank of UAE. Still, every so often we observe some practice of individual or shell entities acting as unlicensed Hawala providers, which usually alert financial institutions' monitoring systems, resulting in raising a suspicious transaction report to the UAE FIU. Such incidents are directly reported to the central bank and law enforcement authorities.
Thank you. So Phil, can you give me some examples of patterns of criminality associated with MSBs in the UK?
Yes, certainly. And I think going on from what we've just said there, it's very important to note that often what we'll see from a UK perspective means that we may see a remittance from an individual or a group of individuals going via MSB to be paid out somewhere else in the world. Or alternatively, we may see remittances coming into the UK being paid out in the UK using the same means. But as we've just heard, one of the difficulties of the of understanding the system is it doesn't always interact with regulated activities of regulated banking. It sits outside the area. Yes, there will be crossovers and intersections with the traditional sector, but it's much like sometimes a jigsaw puzzle, because the means of methods of payment and transferring of that value will move between different operators within different networks, and networks within networks within networks, and nodes within it. And then there'll be cash pooling, which is not always a cash concept, but it can be trade and trade debt and invoicing and factoring, lots of other financial products. So it's a little bit like having a jigsaw puzzle where you've only got one piece of the jigsaw, but you can only see the beginning, first mile payment, last mile recipient, but the mechanics, and that's where the difficulty arises, which is why international sort of cooperation and working together through the FIUs, through the Egmont process, to share information, intelligence issued by reporters through the suspect activity reports is so crucial.
Dr. Reem, can you give me some examples of patterns of criminality associated with exchange houses in the UAE?
One commonly observed pattern is the abuse of MSBs through cash border movements by individuals carrying cash from various jurisdictions to the UAE. cash transported is in different currencies and is declared to the local customs authority in favor of a legal entity or an exchange house. Now, in one scenario, the legal entity couriers declared cash for are not the fund's actual beneficiaries. The legal entity is only being used as a front or shell, a company to receive funds on behalf of the exchange house to avoid documentation. In another scenario, the cash couriers declare that the funds are intended for the exchange house, and the exchange house might be acting as an instrument to launder a third party's proceeds or financing of terrorism.
Okay, that's a very interesting response, and it mirrors something we see with the MSB sector in the UK, whereby we'll see cash either being introduced directly into the MSB for it then to consolidate and transfer that value across the world, and then that cash often will stay within the UK to settle inward remittances or other means, other criminality that's being paid out back into the UK. And what we're also seeing is, when you mentioned monies being entered into the system on the guise of companies or on the disguise of trade, we see that as well still in the UK. We'll still see the cash entering the formal banking system held under corporate accounts. And then once that money's in the system, those organising the transfer of the value can then move it from those bank accounts within the UK to overseas. And what we're also seeing at the moment in the UK, because of what was Payment Service Directive 2 back in January 2018, when it came into effect, there's been an explosion effectively of fintech companies, new technologies using app-based technologies, entering the financial hemisphere. And so money is getting into the electronic ecosystem. And then what is being offered there is you have an IBAN account, an international bank account number, and virtual international bank account numbers, which are being used very much in the financial landscape at the moment. But what we're seeing there is, once you've seen criminal money entering the system, it will hit the regulated sector through traditional banking. Money may be moved electronically into the EMI space, electronic money institution space, and the payment institutions such as MSBs, who've adopted this technology. And money can move very, very quickly through these virtual IBANs or VIBANs. VIBANs are just conduits for money. They don't hold deposits or money, but they'll route through a VIBAN into a bank account. And we're also then seeing from there money being transferred into crypto assets. And then that's split across the globe very, very quickly. And then from the criminal perspective, we see the cash coming in into the ecosystem, into a crypto system, and then cashed back out somewhere else in the world. Often we see criminality as not holding crypto assets as a store of value. We see it cash in into the system and cash out again.
Well, I believe this is one of the most used patterns all over the world. But also we have observed that exchange houses could be exploited by criminals to route fraudulent proceeds or the layering of illicit funds. So there are different patterns actually we can observe in the UAE, but these are the most common patterns that mostly used by criminals.
Thank you. So final question, if I may, to you, Phil. So we live in an increasingly cashless world, and yet MSBs or exchange houses deal prominently with cash. Why is there a need for MSBs or exchange houses, and do the benefits to customers outweigh the challenges to law enforcement or regulators?
Yep, the transmission of money, often referred to during our conversation today as money remittance, is a very important part of the financial services sector in the UK, and it is globally. Within the UK, these are 2021 figures, but the total inward money transfer flows into the UK was $3.5 billion. And the total outward money transfer flow from the UK in the same year in 2021 was $10.083 billion. And the UK is the 14th biggest remittance sender in the world. And as we pause to look back at the traditional customer base of MSBs, and the, as you mentioned, Martin, we are moving into a cashless world. We've already mentioned apps and app-based interfaces that are used by majority of us on our phones and laptops in modern-day society. It's still a common use for money remittance and high street retail operators to send migrant remittances. And these tend to be cash, and they request a cash payout to a beneficiary elsewhere in the world. And as we've already heard, some of these reasons are cheaper, faster money transmission, cultural preference, maybe lack of access to banking from the individuals here in the UK, and possibly a lack of banking for many reasons elsewhere in the world. There may be conflict zones, there may be currency controls, there may well be a tax or a duty avoidance scheme going on. So criminals will still tend to use cash if we move it into the criminal sphere. The 2015 document often referred to in law enforcement, entitled Cash is Still King, still holds true today. Criminals do prefer cash for money laundering. And as I mentioned, even when we see the criminal cash entering the financial ecosystem and being moved into e-money and being moved into crypto assets, at the other end of the scheme, the cash wishes to be moved out. So the cash pools, the illicit cash pools held at various nodes within the hawala industry, within the money service business and money service bureau industry, those cash pools and different nodes, and it will be used to settle debts, transactions, sometimes even to make loans worldwide. And still, even in the UK, in 2020, it was reported that there was 70 billion pounds worth of money in paper banknotes in circulation. However, 50 billion pounds of paper money was still unaccounted for. So from a criminal aspect, cash is still king. And often for migrant remittances, cash is still the preferred means of transference.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I would like to thank Phil and Dr. Ream for taking time out today to talk to us. As with previous episodes of this podcast, our magazines and other UKFU guidance products, details of all of these are announced on the UKFU Twitter and LinkedIn pages. So do follow us on there if you want to be kept updated of our latest releases. I've been Martin Cox, this has been a UKFU podcast, and thank you for listening.